And welcome back, everybody, to the latest edition of the Padre Cast. After taking off a little bit of time following E3, settled back in now, and I'm here once again with my normal co-host, Fred. How are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well, Pasta. Good to get back into the swing of things with this show. We had a little break, but hopefully we can start doing this again regularly.
Yeah, Dylan and I ran off a few podcasts when we were down in LA, and pretty much covered everything that was going on at E3. Came back and posted a bunch of articles coming out of that. And I was health wise not doing all that great for a while, actually while I was down there. So it kind of took a hit to my energy, but everything's back in and rolling along now. So. We figured we'll just go ahead and get back into this, and it'll be a kind of an abbreviated version, just to get back, and then in the coming weeks we'll be back to normal, outside of Comic-Con coming up, which I'm really excited about, and we'll be spending practically a week down there with Dylan again, and covering only this time entertainment stuff. So that should be a lot of fun, and we'll be doing podcasts down there on site also. So there's that to look for too. But for now, let's roll through some of the recent stories, because I think coming out of E3 kind of knocked out all of the game-related stuff, the impressions and the videos and all that. But there are a couple interesting stories since that have come out. And I think we'll start with Madden 11, which coming out of E3 weren't really thrilled about. I think it's going to be a solid game. It just there wasn't really anything to capture my attention from it. And so, along with that, in this general sense that maybe Madden isn't as upgraded this year as it should be, there's been a lot of talk about microtransactions, those types of things. And so we find out that advertisement-wise, there's now a new player rating category called the, and yes, it has the actual Old Spice logo, the Old Spice Swagger category. Now, this apparently, at first, my understanding was it was like a confidence rating, but it turns out that it's actually more of a celebration or a likelihood a player is going to celebrate, kind of an attitude rating. And I think maybe, I guess the question would be, do you think this was a category that was going into Madden already and they just renamed it, or do you think that they created this category for Old Spice?
Oh, I could see it being a category that they were going to create, and then, with Old Spice, with the advertising and stuff, they could have just named it Swagger, like that deodorant, but I don't know, man, it just seems like a stupid rating, to be honest. And when I heard about it, I thought, oh my God, are you kidding me? A swagger rating? Like, it didn't really make sense to me, but, I can kind of see with the celebration rating and stuff like that. But even then, it's almost like with the way the NFL really cracks down on celebrating, I'm surprised that there's even a rating, for that.
Yeah, they want everybody to be kind of the, vanilla. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of interesting that they put this in, but I think there's a good element to it, and that's a sense of personality, a sense of emotion. Now, I don't think they needed a rating for it, because there could be the, here's the group of guys who have that kind of attitude, the Ocho Cincos, the Steve Smiths, these guys who celebrate frequently, the Ray Lewis, those type of players. You don't need Ray Lewis is a 97 swagger. Ray Lewis is either has that element to him or he doesn't. So I'm not sure what, Matt Hasselbeck, if he has, let's say, a 75 swagger, what does that actually mean? It really doesn't mean anything. He probably just falls in a category that's going to play somewhere he's not hunting or celebrating very often. So I think, I almost think they probably wanted this player personality aspect in the game, and then add to appease Old Spice, to give him something to promote the rating, because I think that's a, ratings are always a big thing for Madden. I wouldn't be surprised if Madden this year on roster updates they start spotlighting changes to swagger based on somebody who celebrated the week before. They'll probably find ways to get Old Spice in the, into the public eye and give it a lot of exposure. It brings me more to advertisements, and it's like, that's okay, Old Spice rating, who cares? If most people probably don't even go into the ratings section, and if they do, it's not a big deal to see an Old Spice logo there. So I think most people would probably prefer that type of thing versus the, you remember the advertisements that popped up on screen pre-play that kind of came out from like the score bar area last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, I don't know if that's gone. I've heard conflicting information on that, that it'll be back, that it won't back. I didn't see it at E3, but then again, those consoles aren't really hooked up online, which is where you'd need for those ads to be served from. I think most people prefer stuff off, you know, outside of the gameplay area, you know, if it's sponsored, big deal. But yeah, we have the Swagger rating, very exciting news, and you know, I think it's just one of those things that fell, it was timing-wise, it was just not a great spot for it, considering, you know, the impressions out of E3 weren't all that hot, and they've already been faced with advertisement complaints and stuff like that, but we'll see how that goes, and we'll see if it actually ends up mattering. I have a feeling it's not gonna, that rating is probably not gonna matter that much. This was kind of an interesting thing for me, because we talked in previous podcasts, one with Dylan, and I think one with just us, and we were talking about UFC and our thoughts on UFC and I, you know, all along I generally had this this feeling that UFC 2010, there just wasn't the same excitement around it.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely, I think, has been shown to be the case, because UFC, the sales came out for the first month, which represents a week of sales, which is going to be the, you know, the strongest week. Compared to last year, compared to UFC 2009, it fell off by 60%. And actually, I think the UFC 2009 had a couple extra days, so I kind of gave it the benefit of the doubt and said around 50%. But that number is, I mean, I can't stress how huge that number is. Because even if you take a game like, let's say, you know, MLB 2K9, MLB 2K10, where the previous iteration was really, you know, the consumers did not enjoy it. They had too many issues with it. You know, the word of mouth was bad. Generally, you see those the next year. But even MLB 2K only has fallen at a rate of about 10 to 15% a year. 50 to 60% is outrageous. And so, you know, that got me thinking, you know, what are the reasons for that. You know, I think there were you know, problems post-release, but that isn't really going to factor too much into the first week sales. But problems with online play, problems with gameplay. You had the online pass fiasco, where they kind of, it was almost came across as deception the way that was rolled out. And you know, they've had to patch issues since. And you know, what do you think, if you would put anything on it? I mean, we talked about UFC, we thought it was, you know, maybe minor upgrades here and there. It was more subtle stuff than anything that blew anyone away. You know, do you get that sense that there was something missing this year, or why people decided to skip out on it this year?
Well, I think, like you said, the UFC game that came out last year, it had been a while since a UFC game had come out. I think before that, the last time I had played one was on the Dreamcast, you know? And it's almost like this game isn't a game that is meant to come out every year. You know, if they had gone 2 years, maybe 2011 or 2012 with the game, and maybe if there was a way that they could have just updated rosters, I think people would have been happy with that. Because they did add a lot of, like, little things that I think were really cool additions, but nothing that really blows me away as, like, wow, this is just such an improvement over last year's game. You know, there was, like, little things in the fighting system. Like, I do like the addition of being able to throw someone up against the cage. You know, the downloading of pay-per-view events to play the cards, you know, those little things like that I thought were cool. But I mean, overall, it's the same type of game. I think after playing it more, I think when you, myself and Jerkface were talking about it, I really liked UFC. I still do, but I think now that I've played it more, it really is a lot similar to last year's game, you know? And it's like, once you kind of get an idea of how the fighting system works and how to beat guys, it's almost repetitive, you know?
Yeah, and I think what you said is right about it'd probably be better off as a bi-yearly title. I mean, that's what EA is doing with MMA, with their MMA title, and with Fight Night, is alternating years. And so I guess my question is, you know, maybe you have a thought on this. Do you think there is fatigue just in the MMA video game category, that this is a sign that it's, you know, it blew up, but it wasn't sustainable, and so it's not as big a segment of consumers as we thought, and that could actually hurt EA MMA when that comes out in October? Or do you think it's fatigue with UFC and just being the very next year and not being enough, you know, to differentiate from it?
Yeah, I think that's more what it is. I think I compare these types of games to the WWE games. You know, those games have an audience and they're going to sell no matter how crappy they are. I just don't think that UFC is going to continue to sell like as it did the first time because it came out just last year. Now, I think the sales probably would have been a little bit more comparable had it come out in 2011 and, you know, they had more time and it's updated rosters, but it's a lot of cool stuff too that was added that really differentiates itself from the previous version. And then it's almost like, to me, it seems like, okay, UFC was the first game, you know, MMA game. Then you got this EA Sports MMA because, of course, they want to get into the game now because, you know, they see how successful MMA is. Then you have that ridiculous one that you
hit. Supremacy. Yes,
MMA. Yeah. And it's almost like, okay, now this brand's going to start being watered down and there's just going to be so many games, you know, that, you know, it's almost not worth it. Like, if I'm a company, I'm not trying to get into the MMA game now. It seems like, you know, UFC, obviously, if you're not making a UFC game, it's going to be tough to begin with. But now that you're starting to just really, really start making a bunch of different MMA games, I don't think it's going to work. Like, I really don't know how successful that EA Sports MMA game is going to be because, I mean, granted, that one at least has some known fighters from Strikeforce and, you know, it even has a couple of ex-UFC fighters. And still, you know, it's not UFC. And I think that that's going to sour a lot of people on buying it. You're going to have the guys who are familiar with Fight Night and EA Sports brand in general that will probably stick with it. But, you know, I don't see buying that game if I have UFC already. You know, I mean, it'd have to really just be a different game for me to want to pick it up. Otherwise, I might run into the same problem that I do with NCAA football and Madden, where I get it, and then I end up playing one game over the other and then just not playing the other one. And so, you know, for me, I see myself playing UFC.
And it can be a tough adjustment, too. If you have multiple MMA games, they're all going to have different controls, which is probably the biggest thing in an MMA game. We've talked about how kind of confusing UFCs are, how long it takes to really get those down. And then EA MMA is going to come, and it's going to have a completely different control scheme. And Supremacy MMA comes, and they're going to have, you know, ways for you to break guys' necks somehow. and probably bite them on the shoulder or something. I don't know. But, it's tough because that's why, you know, NCAA and MAD, they've always kept similar control schemes. You know, they're not too different from each other because you take a game like you introduce, you know, Backbreaker, which is completely different in terms of controls, and it's very very tough to ask people who have been playing a game, a sport, a certain way for years to just all of a sudden completely change it. Because, I mean, look, I cover these games, and even I don't really feel like I have the patience to spend hours just learning controls. I did last year with UFC just because it was a new game. But now, you know, it's tough to make those adjustments. And I think in terms of EA MMA, I think, you know, it has the benefit that it's not coming out just within a few months. It's about a 6-month gap, and people are maybe disenfranchised with the UFC series now. And so I think it's going to get a chance to do something there. And from what I played of it at E3, it's already in a really good state. So I think that and you're right, I think it's going to have to be branded more and sold more as an EA Sports MMA game rather than, you know, Strikeforce or individual fighters. And it's going to be a lot predicated on create a fighter, I would think. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, you know, I think there is a little fatigue there, both in UFC and in the MMA regard, just because the roster. This was my biggest thing in my article that I wrote, was the roster. You can add a few people. You can add, you know, Akimbo was probably the highest profile addition. And he was out of UFC before the game even came out, ironically enough. But the roster really doesn't change all that much from year to year. So this feeling that it's, you know, the same thing if you go 1 year to 1 year releases, you know, I think that's where it really takes a hit. Because every year, no matter if you're disappointed with Madden or not, there's always hope about Madden. There's always, you know, oh, my guy picked up for you, you probably are excited to play with Julius Peppers, you know. And there's always that element to these other sports games that isn't there when there's no roster turnover. So that's my biggest thing on that. But I thought it was fascinating. 60% drop is just unheard of, and you know, it probably some wake up calls at THQ, and maybe a lesson to be learned there that EA is taking consideration. We are now just you know, just 1 week out from release of NCAA football, and this was I don't think it got the attention it should have at E3. I saw a lot of different media sites with their, you know, best sports game awards, best you know, nominations, and NCAA was left off, and inexplicably for some ridiculous inclusions like Elite and NHL, which weren't even on the floor, but and for Madden, which really shouldn't have been on the list. But NCAA football, I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's got some momentum this year. What do you, is that? Are you planning on picking up NCAA next week, Fred?
Yeah, definitely. I you know, I played the demo. I liked it, but it's nothing new for me. You know, it's still pretty much the same game, slight improvement. So I pick it up every year. I always say to myself, do I really want to pick up this game? Because I know that once Madden comes out, I'm not going to play it. But I think I'm just so thirsty for football by the time July comes around that I'll pick it up, you know, and I'll play the hell out of it until Madden comes out. And then usually it ends up taking a back seat. Last year was a little different. I ended up playing NCAA quite a bit, but in the end, I still stuck with Madden for the most part. So, you know, I am going to pick it up.
I tend to feel the same way, which is I get NCAA, I play it, and then Madden comes out, and I kind of forget about NCAA. I think it's different, though. NCAA 09, when it introduced Online Dynasty, I played NCAA way more than Madden. I'm an NFL guy, not a college guy. So that showed how that kind of captured me. I think it's going to be the same case this year because Madden didn't upgrade Online Franchise. It didn't upgrade Franchise. And, you know, I haven't bought into the online team play concept for Madden. I don't get a good feeling about that. And, you know, game flow, I think, is, you know, that's going to catch on with some people. It's not really going to, others aren't really going to even care about it. There's nothing that's really pulling me into Madden this year, except for it being NFL, except for it, you know, I wanted to play with the Seahawks. So I think, you know, NCAA this year for me is probably going to get the most play, at least based on my thoughts coming out of E3 and then all the feature sets and stuff. We shall see. And I also just want to mention the online dynasty that I'm running. It's crazy. I must have over 100 people signed up. And what sucks about it is there's only 11 people I can include in it along with myself. And I hate it. I hate saying no to so many people. So hopefully we can get, I'm going to announce who's in it within the next day or two. And hopefully, you know, if there's somebody out there who wants to just start up a forum, in our forums there to run another dynasty, or, you know, if there's multiple people who want to run dynasties, we're going to have a giant pool of people who didn't get into the one I'm running. So just PM Fred on the forum, and he'll set you up a section for your dynasty if you want to do that, and then we can just kind of siphon off other people who are interested in participating in an active dynasty. So so there's that. Let's go to let's finish up with some NBA talk, and kind of back into this NBA Elite now. Formerly NBA Live, but NBA Elite versus NBA 2K11 thing. And so we have, you know, neither game was on display at E3 on the floor. They had a couple private showings to different media, but really restricted. 2K only showed visual stuff. Elite only showed one-on-one gameplay. So we have, you know, we know some of the features. We know 2K11, scrapping ISO motion or retooling ISO motion, and they're concentrating on player control and graphics and Mike Jordan's on the cover. And on Elite side, we know it's got a physics engine, it's got a new control scheme, ESPN commentators, it's got be a pro mode. So all those things are already out there, and we already have a little bickering. One, you know, at 2K side apparently chiming in to say that Elite looks terrible. And where I stand right now is I have this gut feeling that Elite's going to turn out bad, And it's just a gut feeling, the way they're talking about it, the way they're showing it, gut feeling. Has potential to be good, but I'm absolutely zero confidence in it right now. 2K11, they talked about upgrading online, which is absolutely necessary. Hopefully they actually do that this year. I have a little more confidence in 2K11 because I think people generally know what they're getting with that game. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully, though, that they've actually upgraded, because it's been a few years where it's felt more like tweaks. It's kind of along the lines of the show franchise, which is, you know, okay, we got a really good game, let's not screw it up, instead of let's innovate. Where do you sit on these two games right now, Fred? What are you looking at with these two as we go forward here for the next few months? Because I know, depending on what the Bulls do this offseason, you're going to be interested in playing with it.
Yeah, you know, I've been a basketball gamer for, I mean, as long as I can remember, dating back to NBA Live on Genesis, one of my favorite games next to Madden. So, you know, I plan on picking up NBA 2K because, like you said, you know what you're getting. I've purchased it pretty much every year since, like, 2004 or something. So, you know, last year I did try NBA Live, and I went in with an open mind. You know, I knew it had improvements. And I said, okay, I'm going to really try to play this and see if I like it. And I just couldn't get into it as much as I could 2K. And I think it's because of years of playing NBA 2K. You just become familiar with how the game plays and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. I was a little optimistic about it being renamed and completely redone, mainly because of the history behind EA Sports when they, you know, rename a title and just kind of start over from scratch. It actually ends up being a pretty decent game. But with that said, man, I think with this, I'm not going to stray away from the formula. I know what works. I really enjoy playing NBA 2K, and it'll be one of the games that I get this fall. I mean, I do every year. And I would get it regardless of what the Bulls did this summer. I actually don't think that they're going to do anything, and they'll end up with either Carlos Boozer or David Lee. So, you know, that's still an improvement over what they had last year. So,
sure.
Yeah. At this point, I'm still going to get it. You know, there's going to be guys who live by NBA Live and are going to get this game. There's going to be 2K guys who live by that game and are going to get that game. I will say, though, that I did have to laugh when I saw that thing that what's his name, Ronnie 2K. You know, you already started the bashing of each other's games, and you know, we kind of saw it last year. To me, that crap's just unprofessional. You know, just make the game. If you really are worried about the game, then make your game better. And there's no, you know, the sales and reviews will speak for themselves. But you know, I don't get too much into that stuff. I just find it funny that, you know, people would even say that when they're representing other companies. You know.
Yeah, I you know, and the other thing I find ironic is we have these, okay, there's some interesting commenters on this site, and you know, everybody pretty much agrees, you know, like, oh, you know, Madden, if only it had competition, you know, oh, we need competition in every sport, and here's the sport where we have competition, NBA, and each side wants the other side to die.
You know,
2K fans wish Elite, they want Elite to die, they want it gone, they want it completely gone. And the Elite side, which is a smaller group of fans, but those people despise 2K because of the people who want Elite to die.
Yeah.
So we have the competition actually here in the NBA, and each side wants the other one gone, which makes no sense to me. Let's see what they do. We have I don't think the bickering between the two sides actually creates better games.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the statements that are starting already are kind of ridiculous.
And then the other thing too is, like, I don't know how many times I hear this in reference to Madden is, like you say, there's no competition. EA's lazy. It's the same game every year over and over again. But yet these are the same people that love NBA 2K, and that's virtually the same game since the old Xbox. You know, it's made little improvements every year. You know, and They even kept the same engine when they moved over to this next generation. And to me, it's like, well, then you hear, oh, well, you don't mess with success. You know, that's why it hasn't changed, because it's such a great game. It's like, yeah, but if you're wanting to see innovation and that's what you're bashing Madden for, to me, it seems silly, because if there's a game that has made improvements this generation, it has been Madden, regardless of if they're little or not. I mean, just think of the crap that was 2006. It was just a bare bones game, you know? So yeah, I don't get that at all, but I'll still get NBA 2K because I love the game. It's my second favorite sports game next to Madden. So, you know, I'll definitely pick it up.
Yeah, and the competition thing is always a fun topic, and so you have the competition in the basketball games, but Metacritic-wise and review-wise, and most gamers agree, you know, each game has been lacking in some respect. 2K, you know, has had the issues with online for years, and they haven't fixed it, regardless of NBA Live having better online. It hasn't resulted in 2K having better online, so it depends on, you know, how much money is getting funneled into these projects, the people who are working on them, the direction they're taking them, competition. Yeah, they're fighting for dollars, but they're just trying to sell their game more so than beat out a different game. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, like neither one. There was, you know, this is one thing that EA has talked about that has resonated, I think, is that, you know, in the basketball arena, neither game has hit 90 on Metacritic. They've all pretty much been floating. Lives coming up the last few years, it's been rising, but 2K's been floating in that mid-80 range, unlike the, you know, the NHL series and the FIFA series, which have hit over 90, and you know, NCAA and Madden have kind of floated in that 80 range, but it's less about the competition and more about the motivation and what they're trying to do with the game. So let's finish up. Let's talk a little free agency here. Now I know you have to deal with probably a lot of the flirtations happening between Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And has that gotten you excited? You seem like you're pessimistic on all this.
Yeah, I am. Well, I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm pessimistic. I think if you know, you read what's out there. I don't go by any of these sources crap because everyone's got a source. But you kind of read, just kind of putting two and two together, and it's almost like if I had to guess, and I said this from the beginning, LeBron stays in Cleveland. Dwayne Wade stays in Miami, and you know, the Bulls, Chris Bosh goes to Miami, and the Bulls don't get any of those three guys. And you know, it's just the way I feel. I don't think LeBron can leave Cleveland. I think from what I'm reading now, is like he'd feel guilty, and that's kind of what I figured. And then and then it's like Dwayne Wade, it seems like he has a really good situation in Miami. The only thing I see him wanting to come to Chicago is, well, obviously I think that they have a better team than Miami. I think Miami only has two guys under contract now. Yeah. And but his family, like I guess, you know, his wife and the divorce with his wife was finalized, but they still haven't decided whether he's going to be able to actually take his kids out of the state. And you know, they're from Illinois, so if he does that, that's another thing to factor in. And he's always said that he's just going to do whatever's best for his family. That he's a, you know, a father first and a basketball player second. So we'll see if that reigns true. And then Chris Bosh, I mean, that guy's good, but to me, he's not a guy that you build the team around. Like, he would fit perfectly on the Bulls because they need a power forward who can shoot like that. He'd work well with Derrick Rose, but at the same time, the guy just seems like he has a big ego for having done nothing, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and then I keep reading all his tweets, and it's almost obnoxious. And then I read today that even sources, well, again, with the sources, they say that Wade's agent, who's actually the same agent as Bosh, is saying that LeBron and Wade are kind of annoyed that he keeps piggybacking them, you know, and trying trying to get with them. But you know, this is crazy. And I think the thing that I noticed the most about this free agency was, obviously we've never seen something like this with so many big names, but you really see this year more than any how technology has made all this stuff, like Twitter with their tweets, you know, blogs, not just relying on ESPN reporters or local media reporters. You're starting to see blogs. All that stuff has just been interesting, and I've read it all, you know, like I've been so interested in it, mainly because the Bulls are actually a player in the free agency. But you know, I know you don't really like the NBA, but for me, NBA is my second favorite sport behind NFL, so I really followed it. But like I said, I think that the Bulls are going to end up with someone like Boozer or David Lee, and maybe a shooter, and they'll be improved while saving cap space, so.
Yeah, I think they're in a good position there. I think I may have mentioned it before on a different podcast, but for me, this whole free agency thing is fun for me to watch, just to see fan bases get upset.
Yeah.
Like, I want all these guys to go to a different team. So I want, You know, like, I'd love Wade to go to Chicago just so I can see the Miami fans whine. And then I want LeBron to go, like, to the Nets just to see Cleveland in despair, complete despair.
Become
just
Detroit.
Because I had my team ripped away. Nothing can match that.
Yeah.
You know, nothing can match that. And they're going to pay for that because I'm wishing for this.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you. Like, I don't know. I think the more... There's some factors in here. I didn't like Dwayne Wade after he came out and bashed the Bulls organization, saying that they were unloyal because it's just wrong. And he's been actually, you know, publicly courting a lot of these players, and I've wanted him to fail miserably, and no one signed with Miami, so this way he has to sign with another team or just be mediocre the rest of his career. But the other thing that's really annoyed me, and I mean, it's probably just because it's LeBron James, but is the whole city of Cleveland, like, with the way they've just been obnoxious to me, you know, like, standing on corners with street signs calling them home. I heard about the video that they played LeBron James, Cleveland did, for their pitch to him to re-sign. It was like a cartoon with
Family
his
guy.
Friend. Yeah, with his friend.
That pissed me off. I'm like, oh, LeBron, you gotta be kidding.
Yeah,
me.
And then the other thing I read too was that they were saying that you know, they played like kind of a montage of him in high school and then going getting drafted by the Cavs, and then they were showing clips of his mom, like, in the video, like, just, like, really trying to make the guy feel guilty, and, like, fans, like, you know, pleading that he stay, and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, is this really necessary for a basketball player, you know what I mean? I would really like for him to go to the Bulls, but I really have not seen that kind of stuff coming from a lot of the other teams other than Cleveland, you know?
Yeah, well, he's their one guy. Like, otherwise, yeah, that city, I mean, it might, like, implode if he leaves. Like, economically
yeah.
speaking,
yeah,
he's the only thing they have right now.
Yeah, that's why I said it would become Detroit if he left, you know, because they're just, hell, Detroit might be a better city after they leave.
Yeah, that's either way, they'll both burn down eventually.
Well, one other thing I had to comment on, because this was kind of funny, was,
yeah.
I don't know if you heard about it, but it was actually in the Knicks presentation, to LeBron for, you know, to go to New York, was, I guess, his favorite show is The Sopranos. So they actually had,
yeah,
like, some footage from, you know, that they actually did for this. And
yeah,
it was Tony Soprano, like, he's in the witness protection program, and he's telling Carmelo that he's got a friend coming to New York. And I'm thinking, all right, isn't that work for New Jersey's favor rather than New York? Because The Sopranos are actually from Jersey and not New York. Yeah. So,
well, they'll be in New York in 2 years, right?
Who?
Be moving to,
yeah, Brooklyn.
Nets will be moving to Brooklyn, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just thought that was kind of cool too. That I'm a big Sopranos guy, and so I would like to see that footage if I saw it, even if it is just about LeBron.
Yeah, it's like you couldn't get a real finale, but they'll make that for LeBron.
Yeah, yeah, that's ridiculous.
And they just cut. They should have just cut to black on LeBron too.
Yeah.
Just like, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go. And then sign with us. We've got Amari.
Yeah. I know, and then you know, I read right now that Amari's signing with the Knicks, so yeah, that's a big wasted contract, I think. I don't think he's,
yeah, probably. I mean, the only thing worse is Joe Johnson.
Oh man, they're gonna regret that in like 2-3 years.
2 years. Yeah.
And that guy's not worth that kind of money, and they can't unload his contract.
It reminds me of back when I actually had the Sonics, and Rashard Lewis was coming up and got a max deal from the Magic, and I'm like, okay, you know, I like Rashard Lewis, but that's just dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Rashard, and now they regret it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, good players, you know, good players, but they're not, you know, max contract guys.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the NBA. Oh, the NBA, you suck. All right. Well, yeah, so let's wrap it up here then. Just wanted to run through some of this stuff here, get back in some sort of a rhythm, and we'll be back next week. Normal time, normal day, it's Monday. Everyone, thanks for listening. Fred, thanks for taking part again, and take care, and we'll be back soon.